Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, March 14th, 10 a.m., the Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 13, the third paragraph down, starting with, "My schoolmate visited me," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Elena A.M., The 12 Traditions, Libby E. The readers of the text are Cindy D., Jordan L., and Nan K. The share ID for Wednesday, March 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,657. That's 12,657. And for Thursday, today, March 14th, at the 7 a.m. meeting is 12,659. That's 12659. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who recover from compulsive overeating, people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Elena A.M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Elena A.M. I'm from Collegeville, Pennsylvania, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this service opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you, Elena. And the 12 traditions, Libby E.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. I'm Libby E. I'm a compulsive eater in New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. So to do that, please make sure that you do that so we don't get any background noise. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 13, third paragraph down, starting with "My schoolmate visited me," and we'll be reading and discussing that one paragraph only. And I'm now going to ask Cindy D. to get us started. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Good morning, my fellows. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. I remember, you know, after doing step 3 and making that decision to turn my will over to God and being so afraid of doing step 4, because I knew that there were things I had done wrong, but I wasn't really sure if there were people that I had hurt in doing that, which was kind of comical now when I look back on it. But once I got started, I had a lot of resentments, pages and pages of them. And moving from step 4 and 5 into 8 and 9, like this paragraph talks about, was just an incredible experience for me. It was a relief and very cleansing. And doing amends with my mother in particular was an amazing experience. I mean, God really did do for me what I couldn't do for myself. I had been estranged from her for about 5 years, and drove up to Oklahoma and remember praying most of the way that God would be with me and help me through this. I wasn't looking forward to it, and I was afraid of what would happen, but it ended up going more amazing than I could have imagined. And my mother and I spent 4 hours just talking, and she made amends with me as well, and it was rather amazing. And to this day now, you know, we talk every couple of days, and we have the most wonderful relationship that we didn't have before. So this really does work. And there were other, you know, amends that I had to make that I was afraid of that worked out really well. And just this, you know, the process of doing the 4-step and sharing it with someone else was truly a gift, because, you know, I had secrets that I had never told anybody, and my sponsor now knows those things about me, and she wasn't judgmental. She was loving and caring, and it just felt like I was giving the stuff away to the universe, and that, you know, this all this weight came off my back, so to speak, that wasn't burdened by it anymore, and I didn't have to be ashamed about it. You know, it's like admitting my humanness and claiming that part of myself that I had let go of. And it truly is what people say. It's like peeling these layers off of ourselves, and it helps us get back to who we really, I think, are meant to be, who God wants us to be, you know, living a life of love and looking at the world with love. And so I'm truly grateful that I found my way to the program, and that I worked the steps hard, and that every day I continue to work them. And with that, Mel, I'm going to pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Cindy D., for getting us started, and I will now open the lines up to take names of those who'd like to share on this one paragraph.
Kathleen
Melanie
O.
C.
Kathleen, who came after Kathleen O?
Melanie C.
Melanie C. Oh, hi, Melanie.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Mary Jane Z.
Mary Jane Z. A few more.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Anyone else? All right. I have Kathleen O, Melanie C, Roz G, Mary Jane Z, and Jordan L. Kathleen O, get us started. Thank you.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. It's always great to be on the line with everyone in the morning. Mm-hmm. So this is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And so Bill is still in Towns Hospital, and, you know, he's had his final belladonna treatment, and he's finally done with drinking. And I can relate to that because I was finally done with eating. And he also admits he can't continue without, you know, the God of his understanding on his side. And this paragraph, you know, he's talking to his schoolmate, Eddie Thatcher, and talking about steps 5, 4, 8, 9. And I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. And for me, there was something very freeing about doing a fifth step, of telling all my secrets, all the things I'd stayed in denial about, all the wrongs I'd done. And you know, of course, the person who I made my amends with, it was so helpful because, you know, they said they had been embarrassed and shamed and done a lot of the stuff that I had done. So, I mean, this is the stuff I used to eat over. And it turns out I'm really not that much different than anyone else, because when I take fifth steps, it's like, oh, yeah, check, I've done that too, you know. So, you know, making amends, and when doing them, not making excuses, not blaming, not criticizing, not judging, it's very freeing. And step 9 is not just about being willing to make amends, but it's actually willing to take the action to do it. I mean, I had to not just say, okay, I'll do this. I had to actually do it. And in the course of that, I changed. I was able to change. And I was absent about 4 years before I actually did these steps thoroughly. I did them, but I didn't do them thoroughly. It took me a while to do it. And I took a while to do them thoroughly. So sometimes people do them real quickly. And I have gone through the steps and done them quickly and found them beneficial. You know, it is what it is. The point being, the bottom line is, We really want to be free from all this stuff that makes us eat, because, and Mo, I forgot to time myself, so just call it when it's up. I know you will. You know, did you say time?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. But what's so freeing and great about this is like, oh, wow, I finally get this. You know, I continue to do this in a 10-step every day. Doing steps 4 through 9. And it's sort of like, you know, the bathroom's never been, it hasn't been cleaned for a month, you know, and I'm going to thoroughly clean it. Well, it's not going to stay clean. You know, clearly it's going to get a little dirty every day, and I got to just stay on top of it and keep cleaning it. And weird analogy, but anyway, it's about taking the pause, you know, being able to do that so I don't end up having to make a lot of amends and just getting direction from my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you, Kathleen. Melanie C., followed by Roz G. Melanie.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Wilsonville, Oregon. Looking at this, I had to approach this with my sponsor's guide as directions for me. I was in that kind of place in my mind that everything needed to be very practical. I had a difficult time staying on my side of the street. My mind wanted to wander back over to the original thing, you know, that brought me to where I'm at here. And so in looking at this in that practical way, I took it down literally. You know, entire willingness, staying on my side of the street, not being critical. Gosh, is there any critical things going on in my mind? You know, God, please remove those from me and direct my attention with the right thoughts and the right action. The thing that I wanted to focus on for myself here in this, which was very, very, very important outside of each opportunity being very precious to make face-to-face, if there was any reason whatsoever. And for me, it came to where I traveled long distances to be able to do that, because what it turned out to be is the process of seeing somebody eye to eye. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are cases for sure that this isn't possible whatsoever. But the idea that was going to bring into me, into my practices, based on how hardened I had gotten to the willingness, the level of willingness that I was going to have to get to in order to have the kind of recovery that I have today, because it was directly opposite of how obstinate and hardened I'd gotten from before. So reaching out and going to those places was paramount. The thing that, again, that I wanted to mostly focus on, which is most precious to me, that I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And what is it that I was trying to write? And this is from my connection to this higher power that I was creating and enlarging. What was I trying to get right? It was going to be lovely if I could reach across the line and see what I needed to do. But here's the deal. I'll say this very tenderly. It's not for them, although it certainly has a trickle-down effect of happening there. It was for me to be able to right myself with the human race again, so therefore God could come in and I could be rightly joined and aligned there with that particular thing again. And so if I hadn't even directly harmed somebody, if I had a critical thought or whatever, part of this process, whether I went face-to-face or not, was going to involve building a bridge to that other person in some way, as long as it was safe, in some way, shape, or form. And so sometimes I would be able to you know, in a situation, say something that was truly, you know, positive in front of other people, take some time to have coffee again and to be able to cultivate and create tolerance and love and those kinds of things. Because how come? I needed to soften my heart so that I could be before my higher power and be connected with humanity once again, because I was not. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie C. Roz G., followed by Mary Jane Z. Roz?
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles County. And I just kind of wanted to focus for myself on critical, being never to be critical. When I criticize you, that puts me in a position of a false pride of myself, and that I'm better than you, because I don't want to look at myself. And when somebody doesn't stick to my script, do it my way, I want to find something wrong with them so that I can be right. And I've done a lot of 8th and 9th steps over the years, 10th steps, all of them, you know, taking them quickly, taking them slowly. At this present time, I'm doing it very slowly, as a workshop type of a thing, as a deep study. And what I've seen about myself is that, you know, when I criticize you, I don't want to face myself. It's easier for me to be angry and resentful towards you or a principality or whatever it is, and to criticize it, versus looking at me because it's painful to look at me. It's painful to see my ways and my errors. It's humbling. And so I still have problems with being critical. I'm human. I love that what I hear from, you know, one of the guys in the meeting that says, I'll never rise above being a human being. So I have probably criticized things for the rest of my life, but I now have tools and steps to be able to cut myself off, recognize what I'm doing, and stop, because I would love to be a person that's never critical. It's just harms me more, you know. So I'm grateful that today I can look at myself and realize that, you know, just that slogan one more time, live and let live. People are who they are, and I am who I am. And if I'm going to live happy in this world, I better learn how to get along and accept other people for who they are, and also have boundaries within my life so that I can, you know, treat myself and others well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Mary Jane Z, followed by Jordan L. Mary Jane?
Good morning, Mo. Mary Jane Z, recovered compulsive eater in Kentucky. And I wanted to, this is a great passage, this whole step 8 and 9 process. The whole step process for me was a thawing out, because I had no idea I had any amends to make. You know, I didn't think I had that many resentments. You know, I didn't think I was fearful. I didn't think of any of it. I had no clue. So just, you know, step 4 really showed me, you know, the patterns of my behavior, and then talking it over with my sponsor helped me understand I wasn't alone and gave me some more clarity. And then going into step 8, you know, there was a lot of prayer involved in that step, because there were many things I could not see what I had done wrong, because I was the victim. And but slowly but surely, you know, the fog cleared, and it was revealed to me what, you know, what my part was. And a lot of times it has been not speaking the truth when the truth needs to be told. And but there was one time that, you know, my behavior was blatantly wrong. And it's funny how I did it before I was in a program at all. And the worldly wisdom told me, I was at a yoga class, and the yoga teacher, I was very shaky that day. And she said, oh, you're very jerky today. That must mean you need to get rid of a jerk in your life. And something happened that weekend that I got the ball rolling, and the jerk, quote unquote, was removed from my life. And I happily went back in and went, you're right, I got rid of the jerk. Well, and then I get into program and I see where I was the jerk. And a sponsor had told me, if you meet 3 jerks in a week, guess who's the jerk? And, you know, that's recovery information. It reminds me of the spiritual axiom out of the 12 and 12 in step 10. And, you know, I had to go back and make an amends that it was a leveling of my pride, for sure. And it was not it was a clean amends, but it, you know, it did not have the outcome that I thought. And that's the one thing I've also learned. If I'm looking for an outcome when I make an amends, I'm not ready to make that amends yet. This, to me, the amends process is the ultimate let go and let God. It's, you know, I'm never being critical, then only looking at my side. And I have to do this with a lot of prayer and, you know, a lot of input from a trusted guide. So thanks. I pass.
And thank you, Mary Jane Z. And before we take Jordan L., let me remind everyone where we are. We're in Bill's story on page 13, third paragraph down, starting with my schoolmate visited me. We're just discussing that one paragraph only. Jordan L.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. So, I'm fully acquainted with my problems and deficiencies. I didn't even wait until my 4-step in order to start fully acquainting my first sponsor with my problems and deficiencies. And I think I didn't know this at the time, of course, but looking back now, I think that was really important to my recovery, that I started letting somebody in immediately. I am not someone who lets other people in. I tried for years to try to do this on my own, and I swear to God, if there was a way to do it on your own, I would have figured it out. Because that's just who I am. And the conclusion that I came to, like truly, the conclusion that I came to was that it was absolutely impossible. So I got on the phone and I started talking to this person as often as I could, because it was so counterintuitive to me to get on the phone and to like air my dirty laundry, so to speak. It was so counterintuitive to start admitting to this person that I even had problems or deficiencies, and to start like telling them what was going on, like what my life actually looked like, you know? Like I had such a thick wall up of like, this is what I want you to think my life looks like. And I still run into that problem sometimes, even in recovery. Like it's just an old habit and it dies hard. This idea of everything's okay here, I'm fine, everyone's great, like we are one big happy bunch. And so when I got to the four step, by the time I got to the four step, I was like so ready to get that shit out, man. And I started making that list, and there's a teacher that I followed. His name is Lori C., and he talks about resentment being this idea of taking a look at where you think God has made mistakes. And that shit hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was playing God, because I was the ruler of my world. I knew exactly what he meant, and I was able to start writing that stuff down, seeing it on paper. And it wasn't even so much what it was writing down, like it truly was the fact, the volume of what I was writing down, being able to see that this was my entire thought life. Like this had, these resentments, I'll wrap it up, had absolutely consumed me. And it was all I ever thought about anymore. And it was so sad. So it was truly freeing to be able to see all that stuff. And thanks for being on the line. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. And I will now take more names for the second half of our meeting.
Mary B.
Debbie F.
Mary B., Debbie F.
Robin P.
Robin P. Now's your time. Press star 1 to unmute.
Kathy C.
Kathy C.
April B.
April B.
Patty D.
Patty D. We'll stop there. I have Mary B., Debbie F., Robin P., Kathy C., April B., and Patty D. All right, Mary B., you start us off.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Mary B., gratefully recovered in Central Coast, California. All of the readings over these last few days have sparked something in me. It's a question that has come up a number of times. I've been a program many years. I'm not going to put the number out today. And I have 13 and a half years of back-to-back abstinence and maintenance. And the question often comes up, what made the difference? I had had periods of abstinence before, I think the longest 3.5 years at a time, but the only thing I could remember was this feeling of just being tired, tired of starting over, tired. But with the readings these last few days, I've had this image in my head, and I love to think in images, of this big, strong power. And in my head, I get a vision of Mr. Clean. I'm sorry, guys, but that's it. With his arms crossed across his chest and stamping his foot and saying, Mary, you keep asking for my help. You beg me to help you. You cry, you pound your fists. You beg and plead for help. And I can't help you until you get out of the way. And for most of the time in program, I would have said to you, if you had said that to me, okay, I'll get out of the way. And I would go away, and in my head, I would say, okay, I give it to God. But I don't see it that way today. Today, I clearly see that my getting out of the way is through steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And then I have to stay out of the way. And there's step 10, 11, and 12. And, of course, I can't take those steps till I've done 1, 2, and 3. I've always referred to the 12 steps as my yellow brick road to my higher power. I didn't know this for a very long time. I am so grateful today that I got the message that I am recovered, that I'm living free, free of the cravings, free of the obsession, free of the begging and pleading. God's always been there ready, always ready to help. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning, and thank you for everyone who has shared. I pass.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mary B. Debbie F., followed by Robin P. Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie F., recovered compulsive reader in Los Angeles. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. And what really strikes me in this paragraph is the benefit of sponsorship. And the first time I went through a four-step, you know, just really telling someone, acquainting my sponsor with, you know, with my problems and deficiencies that I've been holding in my head for decades. And the amount of release I got from just saying things out loud was so, was an spiritual experience is what it was. And also in that sponsorship of having a guide help me through the amends process, because in my mind, I thought that if I had thought something that was negative towards someone or myself, that I owed an amend, that I created harm. And what I learned is that, you know, for me, you know, thoughts can be thoughts and experiences. And if I were to go out and go start apologizing and making amends to people, that could cause additional harm, if any. So it was really, you know, and I have continued to be just such a gift to have someone to talk to, who's someone who has walked this path, you know, some steps ahead of me, who can share their experience, strength, and hope, and to hear other people's experience, strength, and hope regarding around things, because I, on my own, I will go out and I will over-apologize for just being on this, you know, this planet. And I don't have to do that today. I also really like this, never was I to be critical of them. And again, I have tools that I've learned in this program where when something comes up, I can take my own inventory, right-size it. And if I have, you know, ill will, I have, you know, the prayer for freedom from resentment that I can I have tools now that can free me to be more loving, to teach me how to be more loving and to constantly rely on my higher power to guide me and trust that when amends are supposed to be made, they will come up, and me forcing them is not, it's just patience for me. And I'll just speak, you know, about this specific one that came up on three separate lists, and just, you know, spirit has never made it available to know really what my part is. And so I get to just trust the process and go, you know what? It's God's time, not mine. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Debbie F. And we now have Robin P. followed by Kathy C.
Hi, this is Robin P. Thanks so much, Mo, for your service. God bless everybody in your recoveries. This is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, my sponsor, I had a sponsor who took me through the steps really quickly, the way that the original 100 did in the big book. And I was so grateful, and because then I got to live in 10, 11, and 12, and when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I have a solution today. You know, I text my sponsor, give it to God, and then go help someone else. It's a formula that works. You know, and I love that it says in the big book, you know, that this is, you know, it works, it's common solution. You know, so anybody who's willing to do it, you know, can do this. And it works for everybody. And it doesn't just work for the wealthy. It doesn't just work for certain sexes or races. It works for everybody. And so all I have to do is be honest, open, and willing to work these steps throughout my life. And for me to have continuous recovery, I get to have continuous action and faith, you know. And I love that, you know, my sponsor just saved my tush so many times. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. You know, and then I have a different sponsor now because my first sponsor left. And this sponsor has just made such a difference in my life. Wow, she's been such a blessing to me. And I get to be a blessing to others, and they get to be a blessing to others, and so on and so on. And, you know, it's a real design for living. And I love that Bill says, too, you know, it's not in the paragraph, but, you know, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. So this is something that we get to practice in all of our affairs. And I'm so grateful for that, because this tells me what to do. All I have to do is be willing to do it. So God bless everybody in your recoveries. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. Kathy C., followed by April B. Kathy. Kathy, press *1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Kathy C., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Sorry for the pause. Thank you for your service, and thanks to everyone for your shares. Welcome if you're new. I love the Stone meeting, and I love the timeliness of all meetings and the messages. I was not willing to make one of the amends that was suggested to me, and I woke up this morning kind of feeling a little bit unsettled, and I thought, is there anything on my recovery list that I haven't done? Is there something that I can be doing in my program to help with this? And I remembered I have this outstanding amends, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to reach out to see if I can get it scheduled. And I'm so grateful that I remembered that, and then I called into this meeting, and the topic is amends. And so I love the timeliness of that. And I'm grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous and the structure that it provides our program. I'm also reading Language of the Heart, which is the kind of, it gives a story of how the steps are written in the big book, and I recommend that to anyone. It's AA-approved literature, and I'm just glad that they took the time to spell them out the way they did and that they're in the order they are, because this is probably my, I don't even know how many times of working the steps, but it's taken me this long to want to make or be willing to make amends to this person. And as it was explained to me by my sponsor, it was a thorn in my side and it was something that needed to be removed. And she's right. So thank you all for your thanks just for the phone meeting, and just grateful to be recovered today. And I pass.
And thank you, Kathy C., April B., followed by Patty D., and we will probably have time for one or two more shares after that, so be prepared if you'd like to share. April B.? I can't hear you, April. Press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Hi, I'm April B. in Chicago. I think this is a very timely discussion, and I thank you for your service as well as everyone for their shares. I think that making amends and doing inventories and giving them away is has been a very, very important part of my program. I remember the first time I did an inventory, there were some things that I just didn't want to share, and so I didn't. And I guess you can guess what happened. Eventually I relapsed. And over a period of time, I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet. And if I don't want to relapse again, then I'm going to have to do a complete step 5. And that has been a very, that really opened the door for me, really, in terms of being able to maintain long-term abstinence. And I, you know, as far as having my character defects given away, I do find that it, at times I am able to, God is able to take them from me. And I find that to be a miracle. And it's not that they will never come back. It's that sometimes I can experience life without them. And I think that's quite amazing. And so thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, April B. And Patty D., you're up.
Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's hard for me to share this morning, but I felt that I needed to. I had been recovered for over 6 months and felt very touched by the readings this week. I joined the meeting late this morning but knew where you were from being on the meetings earlier this week. And I relapsed this week, still eating my abstinent foods, but my behavior was compulsive, and also relapsed into other compulsive behaviors. And like other people had shared this morning, I had been feeling uneasy for the past several weeks. I deal with some health issues, and those have been sad as well, and I felt my uneasiness had been related to those. But I knew deep down that it was part of, related to my step four, where even though I had shared my step four with my sponsor, I had not dealt fully with some of those resentments, that they were still in my heart, and I'm not really sure how to completely deal with them to get healing, but I know that that's what's holding me up. And yesterday's reading, when they talked about having God deal totally with the branch and the root, that God spoke to me and said, you know what, you gave me the branches, but you didn't give me the root. And so I'm feeling really fragile right now. But this is so important. And, you know, I have a phone call scheduled with my sponsor, and I know that I need to deal with this. And so, as others have shared, if this is not fully dealt with, it will lead you back to the food, and it will lead you back to the emptiness that brought you here. And so that's all I wanted to share. And thank you. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Patty D. And we have time for one more share, if somebody would like to take that.
Nan K.
Okay, Nan, you're on. Thank you, Nan.
Okay, you're welcome. I have to go back page 12, where it says, it's only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation or of complete willingness, I might build. And this is a process, and this involves action. Last night I was listening to an interview, and the guy was talking about inspiration, that everyone is inspired. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be selfish with it? Are we going to cultivate it or share it? And I thought of willingness. Am I going to be selfish with it and say, I'm willing, ta-da, or am I going to cultivate it and act on it? And like Bill said, I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing. And then there's more action. I fully acquainted him with my problem and deficiency. And that's big and that's scary. But I have to remember, like it says in the paragraph before, I'm under the care and direction of my higher power. With his care and direction, I can make a list of people I have harmed. And with entire willingness, which is the foundation, I can approach these individuals. Then there's this shift. Instead of listing what the person has done to me, I am to never be critical of them. And with his care and direction, I'm to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. Thank you. That's all I have. I pass.
Thank you. And I think we'll close our meeting there. I want to thank everyone for sharing this morning, making this meeting possible, and all those who gave service. We had Elena M., A.M., Libby E., Cindy D., Jordan L., and Nan K. And I'm now going to ask Jordan L. to read from page 164, A Vision for You.
My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.